As the Liberal Party grapples with the questions on how it treats women in its ranks, there's a report out today, and that has put the focus squarely on the coalition's junior party, the Nationals. So it's an investigation into sexual harassment allegations against the former Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce, and, well, it's found no conclusive evidence. Not enough to make a finding. The complainant, WA businesswoman Catherine Marriott, she says that outcome is not good enough. She is, to quote her, extremely disappointed. Catherine Murphy is The Guardian's political editor. Catherine, welcome to Drive.
Hello, how are you, Jonathan?
Let's backtrack a little here, because this is, I think, this has been 8 months in coming, this report. Take us back to when we first knew about this allegation against Barnaby Joyce, Catherine Marriott.
Yes, well, this came in late in the Barnaby Joyce in the saga around Barnaby Joyce's exploding private life. There was the end of his marriage, finally confirmed after a long period of not confirming it, then confirmation of his new relationship with his former staffer Vicky Campion, and all of that was swirling around the place. Malcolm Turnbull's fury about those set of circumstances, a lot of controversy sort of surrounding the government, and then this allegation came in towards the end of that saga, and was cited by Joyce when he finally resigned in February and decided that his position was untenable. This sexual harassment complaint was cited as sort of as the last straw that made his, by him, that made his position untenable, although we should, of course, say that he has denied this at all stages.
Absolutely. And the other thing to point out is, of course, that Catherine Marriott didn't choose to make this public.
Absolutely not. And it was really appalling at the time, I must say, because she made a complaint. Now, I think I have this sequence right. I think first to the WA National Party, because, of course, that is where she is based. And her intention was that her name never be in the public domain, that it be treated, you know, as an internal matter by the National Party. And as soon as that complaint sort of made it from WA to the federal National Party executive, it ended up, or Catherine Marriott's name ended up on the front page of The Australian as the complainant, which she was horrified by, and which a number of her colleagues, high-profile people like Fiona Simpson, the president of the National Farmers Federation, were also horrified by. And at the time, they accused the National Party of leaking this. So it was all horrible, really, to cut a long story short. It was all pretty horrible. She was outed in the public domain against her own wishes, and then has sort of stoically, I think, gone through this very long process of interacting with the National Party over this complaint.
Which has involved a fair bit of effort on her part. She points out several trips to the East over this, a fair bit of interrogation. It's not been painless.
Well, imagine if you're in this situation and you're making a complaint about somebody you've sort of in the process turned yourself into a public figure. You've got to now no doubt have your own recollections of things cross-examined by people who are trying to get to the bottom in good faith, trying to get to the bottom of the reasonableness of the allegations. Pretty stressful process to go through. A lot of people don't like going through those processes because they are inherently stressful. And then to go through all of that, to project yourself as a public figure when that hadn't been your intention from the outset, to have no finding, I can only imagine how frustrated she is.
And we hope that it has been that sort of an open-minded process, because, of course, this was an internal party process.
This is also part of her observations that the party didn't have a sort of pre-existing set of protocols to deal with such complaints. And it was dealt with in-house by the executive of the National Party in New South Wales, which is where the complaint ended up, because Barnaby Joyce, I think, in the federated structure of the Nats, sits in the New South Wales party structure. And, so it was dealt with in-house. The New South Wales Nats issued a very, very brief statement today after Marriott herself issued her own statement saying, this is what the National Party has told me. And the National Party statement gave no information whatsoever apart from the fact the investigation had concluded, that there was a report, but they didn't intend to release it. And that was that. And certainly, to my knowledge, Barnaby Joyce has also said nothing, at least until the time that we've gone to air.
This probably feeds into the sort of framework that Julie Bishop was mentioning, you know, the other day, of processes within Parliament and within politics that wouldn't be seen within a bull's roar of the private sector. I mean, it's hard to imagine that kind of a process being played out in any other large organisation.
Well, exactly. And that's the sort of, that's the gap between the political world and the non-political world at this point in time, that there is, because of the sort of feudal nature of politics and the fiefdom culture of politics, which is resistant to, you know, norms in the outside world, we've got two sets of, you know, two sets of standards, two sets of ways of dealing with things. And as we saw in terms of the leadership madness, sort of no internal processes for dispute resolution other than sort of violent coups against sitting leaders.
Yes.
So it's sort of, it is quite remarkable, and it is good, I think, to hear people talking about how appalling this is at a number of levels in quite lucid terms at the moment. And one hopes that leads to progress of some type or other, but one also wouldn't want to bet the house on it.
Well, this comes, as we mentioned, at the end of a week of a number of revelations in this sort of territory of process and in particular the treatment of women around the political sphere.
Yep.
Parliament back next week.
Yes, next week.
Let's fantasise here for a moment and let's be vaguely predictive. Could we perhaps expect a parliamentarian female or two perhaps to get to their feet and name names around some of this bullying discussion?
Well, Lucy Gachui, who is the South Australian Liberal Senator, has signalled that she will do just that. Mm-hmm. She has indicated that she doesn't want to name names without the protection of parliamentary privilege, because the allegations are being made about particular individuals, and those individuals categorically deny any wrongdoing. And, of course, you know, you run into defamation territory if you invoke people's names when they have categorically denied their involvement. So will Gachui deliver? I hope she does. Scott Morrison at the moment is talking about stability and healing. He's on the stability and healing tour. But what the parliament desperately needs, I think, is at the moment is a dose of truth. Facing up to the consequences of what's happened.
I mean, there's a couple of rings operating in that coalition circus. There's Scott Morrison on the road, you know, playing for the hearts and minds, and saying that I'm focused on you, Australian people, very much his message. In the meantime, we have the party tearing Peter Dutton apart. We have allegations of the conduct of his people during the attempted coup. You know, there's a sense of disconnection between those two activities.
Yeah, well, I understand, of course, why Scott Morrison wants to move things on. And there's sort of a self-interested imperative of, you know, shutting the whole show down, because that's you actually want to move on from the unseemliness of the last few weeks and project something that isn't mad to the Australian voters. But also there is an element of truth, of course, to his rationale, which is that the voters are sick to the back teeth of dealing with these sort of psychodramas in Canberra, and would like just the parliament to wake up to itself and get on with delivering. Now, and I have a certain amount of sympathy for Morrison articulating that, because it is true. However, back to that other, my point a minute ago, stability and healing, I think, does also require some truth-telling. And the thing about the perpetuating culture is that nothing changes unless people represent honestly what's occurred and take remedial steps to ensure that these things don't happen again. So I think it is encouraging that a number of Liberal women are finding their voices, because this is a very difficult political movement to be a mouthy female in, let's be honest. So it's good that a number of them are finding their voices. Now, what they have to do, though, is translate individual acts of frustration into systemic change, and that will involve having a strategy, being persistent, enjoining male colleagues into the process of reform and change.
Yeah.
And I genuinely hope we see a bit of that.
Just the last point, Catherine Murphy, Peter Dutton, au pair gate, and the intervention
yes.
of both the Senate committee and its evidence, and the intervention here of former Border Force Chief Roman Kwalvig. Is this going to stop at the point of there is no illegality and therefore that's the tense test now of ministerial probity, whether you actually broke the law? Is that where this will end, that Peter Dutton won't have done that and everything will go away?
It's a bit difficult to predict right at the moment because we do have two central protagonists disputing one another's accounts of allegedly the same incidences. Mm. I gather that the former Border Force Commissioner has made a second submission to the parliamentary inquiry examining this whole saga. Although it's not yet in the public domain, what he's saying in that second submission. In terms of where it ends up, well, obviously, I think we will see an extension of this Senate inquiry process. That was going to wrap up next Tuesday. I can't see that happening on current indications, particularly if there's a second submission. I think it will drag on beyond that. And I think the committee will attempt to call relevant protagonists to give evidence. So we'll see where that happens or that ends up. The other moving part in this is that the Greens and Labor and some of the crossbenchers in the lower house are telegraphing a motion of no confidence in Peter Dutton next week.
Right.
Now,
who'd
that's not... Well, that's to do with misleading the parliament.
Yes.
So it's sort of... which is a slightly different question to the one that you asked me, which is the substantive question. Are we going to get an answer on this? Did he do the right thing or not? Mm. But also in play at the moment is this, whether or not Dutton misled the parliament when he gave an answer several months ago now that these au pairs that he had no connection to them or to the people employing them. And then, of course, it's turned out subsequently that one of these au pairs is for an old cobber of his in the Queensland Police Force, which is a bit difficult to explain on the face of it. Because
no doubt next week he will be given abundant opportunities.
I think we can predict that with absolute confidence. We can predict that.
Catherine, thank you so very much. And may next week be a calm and soothing one for you.
Well, we can only hope.
Catherine Murphy, she's The Guardian's political editor. Zarin Drive.